Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Back in 2006, a former Narrabunda college kid here in Canberra, he was part of an Aussie band called Youth Group, and one song rocketed them to stardom. Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the skies, hoping for the best but expecting the worst. Are you going to drop the bomb or not? Forever young. I want to be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever and ever. Forever young. Now, if you're familiar with the song, you'll have the catchy tune playing in your head right now. Originally, of course, it was an 80s song. See, again, all the good music comes from the Cold War era. Well, 40 years earlier, the Beatles also had a hit song called When I'm 64. Now, which do you prefer, to be forever young or dribbling the words, when I get older, losing my hair many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Ours is a generation, a society, where we worship at the fountain of youth, where the cult of youth runs supreme and runs energetically. Old or young, we're all called to worship the god or goddess that demands our endless efforts and money to stay forever young. George Bernard Shaw once quipped, "Youth is such a wonderful thing. It's a shame to waste it on young people." And so we have a whole industry helping us to avoid aging, helping us to deny we're actually getting older, programming us to think we'll stay forever young. But a good dose of reality needs to set in, I think. And that's what we get from reading God's Word, especially the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. It's here we get a simple picture of the brevity of life and the realness of death. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're being reminded of what we heard back in chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a wonderful reminder that life moves more quickly than we imagine sometimes, and that we might flourish for a time, but the forever young tune will quickly fade away. Or our ears will stop working because we blasted too much Jimmy Barnes's Working Class Man into our headphones in our teenage years. Or our voices will fade because we screamed out Swift Taylor's Cruel Summer too much in the shower. So let's wise up for a moment and hear a once young Sarah read this timely reminder about our fleeting lives.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light, and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the doors of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity.
Here's our teacher once more showing us God's revealed wisdom. He's done this throughout the book, even though at times he's been busy seeking after human wisdom. But from time to time, this ray of sunlight breaks through the clouds and we're given a glimpse of life beyond the sun, above the sun, and we hear wisdom from the S-O-N, the Son of God. And this passage is giving us an ageless poem about aging. And because he's a poet, the teacher says much more than, "You know what, friends, one day you're going to get old and die." Instead, he employs images to help us see and hear and smell and taste and reach out and touch and feel the decaying of life to death. We should be thankful for this honest look of growing old, because it's going to happen to all of us. Unless, of course, the Lord takes you home prematurely, which may happen, but that's okay because my times, O Lord, are in your hand. So here's chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, giving us a poetic account of teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Remember back in chapter 3, the teacher left us with a famous poem about the ticking of time. Well, here in chapter 12, he gives us a famous poem about the reality of mortality. Verse 1 makes it clear he has young people in mind. It's like he enters the lecture hall with a bunch of 19 to 22-year-olds in front of him, all, of course, with their heads down and thumbs twiddling away on a tiny device held in their hands, thinking that this little phone that they own knows everything. And what can this old professor possibly teach me? We'll come back to verse 1 again in our next Bible talk. Verse 2 pictures the storm clouds rolling in. Both day and night are darkened by the clouds, and then after the rain comes, the storm clouds gather again. It's a classic picture of getting old and suffering one trouble after another, one medical specialist after another, one swipe of your Medicare card in one reception in the morning, and by lunchtime you're waiting in another medical centre for yet another medical test. I like the joke, 90 isn't old, you're old when the doctor doesn't x-ray you anymore, he just holds you up to the light. The teacher has referred to the sun, S-U-N, 34 times across this book. Well, here in verse 2, this is the last time. It's the final scene. The sun's going down and the light grows dim. And then from verses 3 to 7, he gives us this illustration of a great house with its former glory and glow. But now the house is in this serious state of disrepair and decline. Literally, the house, our bodies, are falling apart as we grow older. And try as we might to bring in the tradies to fix things up, the house just keeps decaying. Well, let's go for a quick tour around this falling apart house. So grab your Zimmer frame or your motorized scooter and let's dart through these verses at the lively pace of 0.5 kilometers an hour. Verse 3, the keepers of the house tremble. Most likely, this is a picture of an old man or an old woman's arms or hands trembling as you drink your lukewarm coffee or tea. It's lukewarm, of course, because you've forgotten where you've put that mug with a straw to drink from. And the strong men are bent. It probably refers to our legs, most certainly our backs. No matter how many Pilates programs you do or pool aerobics you wade in, old age means our arms and our legs will shake and bend in the wrong places and at the wrong times. Whether you've been a professional athlete or you've spent your entire life doing your exercise vicariously through others on the TV screen, it doesn't change the fact that our arms and our legs will one day not be able to hold us up for very long. We'll all be like Winston Churchill, who used to say, "Why stand up when you can sit down? Why sit down when you can lie down? Now that I've gotten older, everything's finally starting to click for me. My knees, my back, my neck." And then we read, "The grinders cease because they are few." It's not hard to imagine he's talking about our teeth, if, of course, you've got any left. As we roll our scooters down the baby aisle in the supermarket, it's not because we're shopping for grandkids or great-grandkids, it's because we're shopping for ourselves, and the baby food range comes in handy because we can simply gum our food down. No matter how good your dentist might be now, and I know a few good ones, your molars will cease to function. And the Heinz sweet chicken, corn and mango will be perfect for lunch, dinner and dessert. And remember, you'll be eating dinner at 4 p.m. The end of verse 3. "And those who look through the windows are dimmed." It seems to be talking about our eyes, dimmed by cataracts or just a general loss of sight. No matter how many times you visit Specsavers or how thick your Coke bottle glasses are, our eyesight will let us down. And you'll think that your car windscreen needs cleaning, but really it's your eyeballs that need a good clean. It reminds me of my father-in-law, who tells me that whenever he goes to renew his license, he passes the eye test because he's memorized the eye chart on the back of his GP's door. Too bad if one day the eye chart changes, but that's probably good news for the rest of us on the roads, especially cyclists riding next to him. Verse 4 probably takes us to our ears, which become deaf or hard of hearing. Please turn up the volume if you didn't hear that. And so we go from our youth, where we used to blast the stereo and annoy our parents, to now old age and blasting the TV and annoying the neighbours three doors down. And then we read, all the daughters of song are brought low. Bible commentators seem to think this is a reference to our vocal cords no longer having the elasticity to reach those high and low notes. So there's to be no singing along to Bee Gees' Staying Alive, or even crooning along to Unforgettable, though you would have forgotten those lyrics anyhow. Verse 5 is another picture of the aging process. Fears come from every side, and we're forever warning the grandkids or even our own adult kids to watch out and to be careful on the roads and to be careful when you go online and be careful when you reverse that car and be careful about being careful, forgetting that we were never that careful anyway. The reference to the almond tree blossoms, most likely it's about our hair turning white if you're lucky enough to have any left on your head. You could say to someone, these are not white or grey hairs, they're called wisdom highlights. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails. The grasshopper, you see, is supposed to spring through the air, fly past your cat as they try to swoop them. But here's the picture of this poor old grasshopper dragging itself along, almost like it's been run over by a lawnmower. No longer is there a spring in our step, and our step actually takes us a while to do. And desire fades and fails. Well, no matter how many Viagra pills you pop, your bed is now for sleeping, and more sleeping, and more sleeping. You call the incontinence hotline, and they ask if you can hold, and you say, no, I can't. That's the problem. And this desire failing is probably more than just sexual desires. Our desire for food and drink diminish, though it's good to know the baby food aisle does offer some variety. Then there's verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Maybe the silver cord here is a reference to our spinal cord. Whatever is represented here has the words snapped, broken, shattered, and broken attached to them. It could be a stroke, a blood clot, a bad fall, a body part broken inside or out. It's a poetic picture of the beauty and frailty of our human bodies and minds, yet they now lay in ruins. This once magnificent house has now collapsed, and the secure building fence goes up, and the local council comes along and puts up a to-be-demolished sign. Which leads us to verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's a reminder, isn't it, back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and our creation, and the curse of Genesis 3, verse 19, because of the fall. That one day our bodies will go into the ground in a coffin or as ash, and our souls and spirit will return to our Maker, either for eternal life or eternal death. And this aging poem and this final death declaration brings the teacher back to his opening words of chapter 1. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8, we've heard it before. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. It's the last cry of the 38 times we hear this Hevel, bubbles of nothingness, vapor, fleeting breath. Back in 1969, the Irish playwright Samuel Beckett wrote a drama that lasted 35 seconds. The curtain opens, and all you see on the stage is a spotlight, and the spotlight is on a pile of rubbish. Then the light dims, and then it brightens up a little before it just fades away, and now you're left watching the stage in complete darkness. There are no actors on this stage, and there are no words in this drama. You only hear a soundtrack to the scene you've just watched. First, you'll hear a human cry, and then an inhaled breath, and then another cry, and then an exhaled breath. It's not exactly great money for the theatre, is it? It doesn't really matter which seat you get in the audience, does it? It's not a 35-second play you're going to rush back to see again or invite your girlfriend to cuddle up in the back row while you watch it. I mean, Samuel Beckett, of course, was an atheist, but his simple play, even though you'd feel ripped off if you forked out a lot of money for a ticket, his simple breath play tells the Bible story of how it appears for all of humanity. See, many times across the Bible, we're reminded, aren't we, that we're simply mere breath, like a flower fading, here one day, but buried the next. And so the teacher concludes, not unsurprisingly by now for us, all is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. You know, our songs have a way of reading our culture and revealing wisdom from a worldly sense. So Avril comes along and sings, "Here's to never growing up. Hey, we can stay forever young." Adele follows up with her song, "We were sad of getting old. It made us restless. It was just like a movie. It was just like a song when we were young." But then the teacher gives us his song version, and it's to be sung with sobering clarity and breathless honesty. And he's taking away the sentimentality of so many modern songs, and he's giving us a good dose of reality, which we all need in this age-defying culture of creams and chasing eternal youth. For along comes a teacher in chapter 12, and he gives us an honest poem about how things are this side of eternity. It's aging under the sun, even if you do cover up and slip, slop, slap with 50-plus sunscreen and moisturiser. The teacher's telling us in no uncertain terms and with no sugarcoating, because we've all lost our taste buds, that our lives will one day come to an end and strength will be no more and beauty will fade. He gives us an ageless poem about ageing. He's giving us an honest look about growing old. A simple picture of the brevity of life and the realness of death. Well, it's not the most exciting Bible talk to listen to, is it? But maybe it's the most brutally honest Bible talk we really do need to hear. So much so that we'll return to this chapter and theme again next time in our Bible talk. But for now, I want to finish with this reminder, as you've grown a little older these last 20 or so minutes. The image the teacher uses in this chapter is that of an old house falling apart and perhaps about to be bulldozed. This once great and glorious house has lost its splendour. It's no longer getting lots of hits and likes on all homes. No one's really drawn to put an opening bid on this old house. But when we put on our gospel glasses, we're given a picture of a different sort of house. And one that never decays or falls apart or needs medical intervention. You see, with our Jesus glasses on, placing our firm trust in the gospel of grace as we grow older and therefore closer to eternity, with our Jesus glasses on, we see the Lord Jesus preparing a home for us that will never crumble or collapse or be condemned. So if you're struggling as your body breaks down or up, if you're worried about aging and growing old and what the future holds, If you're anxious about forgetting where you put your Medicare card for yet another doctor's appointment, then remember the great words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And this house of our Heavenly Father will not be like our earthly house that cracks and crumbles and collapses, but our new bodies will reside in this eternal home that experiences no more sickness or suffering, no more decay or doctor's appointments and death." And then building on this image from the Lord Jesus is the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He writes, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Verse 5, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, a new home. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Brothers and sisters, until next time, grow old, knowing that one day you will be forever young and face to face with our Lord and Saviour for all eternity.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.